This is Chandler Nova, and JR come to report on his auto accident and to get the tractor this Saturday morning, the 14th of December, 74. Chandler Nova and beginning to visit with JR this Saturday morning, the 14th of December, 74. Channel 1 over. I'm beginning to visit with JR this Saturday morning, the 14th of December, 74.
Probably going back home. Can I get Mr. Miles a tractor?
Well, I have an idea you sure can. You can get the thing started.
I'll get it, thanks. I'll tell Bobby that.
Well?
I know that thing is good.
Isn't that thing something?
And I noticed outside there wasn't a drop of smoke nowhere.
Isn't that the most amazing thing you ever saw in your life?
He don't use his automatic pen.
How'd it do?
Oh, Farmer.
Well, sir.
How you getting along?
How'd you do?
Well, look who's here.
Like
well, you ain't the only one.
Honey.
What's the matter? Have you been sick?
Me?
Yeah.
I've been trying to get over to your house.
Look
well,
at
I
that.
Tell you, I ain't had nowhere to ride.
Well, yeah. I'll tell you, one thing I wanted to see you about was that,
Have a feel.
We can't sit down, see?
Oh, I
they don't want to sit down.
Look
I
at
don't
that.
Imagine to.
Look at that boy. Hi there.
That's Grandpa's buckshot.
He's going to be ready to go squirrel out in there.
Yeah, you got any squirrel out here?
No, I said they go the first thing. You see, they get them over there, back there.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they don't do that, they just come right back my lane.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen a squirrel here since, what are you looking for?
Mm-hmm. I didn't hear about my mishap, did you?
No.
I tore that brand new truck all to pieces.
J.R.
$1,325 damage.
J.R.
You mean that good truck of yours?
Sure, yes, man. I messed up the whole front end of it. Slam up to the cab. Busted it wide and rotten nigger run out in front of me, huh?
Oh, he's on back.
Can I get your tractor?
Yes, sir. Let me tell you. That's one thing I want to see about.
Okay.
I get people, these mechanics out here to help me with it, and all they do is start it.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I go to work on it, and it won't start again. They can beat me starting it. That's the only thing
well,
that happens.
I know what's wrong with it. In other words, ain't one way I can fix it. And I'll have to take that hull off.
Yeah.
And you can't get to that distributor like you ought to.
No.
In other words, the bushing in that distributor is gone. And I can get a distributor for it.
Oh.
What, you feeding somebody somewhere?
Not right now.
Oh, he's on back
there. All right, okay. Well, I'll be in there after a while.
She's having a party. Her children coming out this morning.
Mm-hmm.
After a while.
Well, I'll see you after a while, son.
Okay. Damn, he looks bigger than he did last time I saw.
He is bigger than what he was.
Ooh.
No, I had last Wednesday morning, there's been a truck following me every morning.
Uh-huh.
And he stays right on my bumper.
Oh, I hate that.
And, of course, I mentioned it to the sheriff's office about him staying right on my bumper. I bet he wasn't 10 feet behind me.
Yeah.
And so got up there. See, you take that new construction place that Whitehurst is fixing that road behind Gainesville. They call that 11th Street. And then there's 7th Avenue, and then there's 6th Avenue. And of course, they got me charged with passing a car. And I told that policeman, I said, you don't know what you're talking about. I said, you can go ahead and ride it up like that. That'd be all right. But I said, whenever court comes, I says, I'll tell it how it belongs. In other words, this nigga woman come out of 7th Avenue. See, they got me charged with passing her at 6th Avenue. I didn't pass her. She passed me. In other words, when she come out of 7th Avenue, she didn't even stop. And whenever she come out down that road, and she seen that she couldn't get by, what she'd been doing is crossing 11th Street and just keep right on going.
Mm-hmm.
All right? She come out of 7th Avenue, and she seen that she couldn't get by. And with this truck behind me. So she turned to the right and she took down a piece that hadn't been paved yet. In other words, there's part of that road that ain't been paved. So she took down the side and went down the side. And when she got to 6th Avenue, she made a left-hand turn. And if I'd have been running 5 miles slower, I'd have hit her head-on. Not in the front end. In other words, both of us both cars and everything, I hit her in her left front wheel, just like that. In other words, if I'd have been running 5 miles slower, I'd have hit her head on instead of sideways. You got an ashtray?
Right there.
Well, move that, because I don't want to put it in that. So, but they wrote it up that I was passing her. All right, this truck that was behind me, he was a guy that passed us. In other words, he passed me and that car. And I know who it is. I know just exactly who it was because yesterday I've been looking for that truck, see, that's been behind me. And I noticed he had on an old cap. It was something like this him, but the old cap come way up and stuck way out in front, and it was brown, a kind of brownish, it was brown. And yesterday I run up on the truck down here this side of the county line. And I told them men that was riding with me, I said, there's that truck right there that was behind me. And it's old Ars Bowler.
Oh, don't tell me.
Old Ars Bowler.
Well, why would he trail you like that?
Well,
Ars Bowler.
He ain't got no sense. He's smart. He's a smart nigger. He's old nigger, but he's smart.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Smart Eddie.
I didn't know
in
that.
In his young days, well, he son got married him a young woman.
Oh, I see.
And he's the one that's been trailing me every morning.
I say
about 10 feet from my bunker.
Well, that don't sound
instead
like
of him staying there when the wreck happened, he went around us and went on by.
Yeah.
He missed us.
He wanted to get clear of that.
Yes, sir, and he kept right on going. All right? They got me for passing her, or trying to pass in an intersection. But the way it was, she come out. 7th Avenue, and she seen it. She couldn't get across, so then she took down this unpaved part. And when she got to 6th Avenue, I seen a tail light, her back signal light blinking to the left. Then she was gonna cut across, see, and that's the very minute I kissed her. And her car, went out this way, and my truck went on down and then out that way, see, and across it. There's a medium strip out there that. A cement thing about that high up. Well, my truck went across that, and she was right behind me, off to the right just a little bit. And I heard somebody make the remark, better get that goddamn thing out of the road. Get it off the street. Well, then she drove it from over here in a nigger woman's yard over here. See? And she tried to get away from there because she didn't have no driver's license. She didn't have no sticker on that car, and she didn't have no insurance.
Don't tell me.
See that? All right. Whenever I go to court Thursday, I'm not going to plead guilty because I'm not guilty. And Red Cross is going to be the judge. They say he will. But now, say, for instance, he don't, and that nigger is the judge. Whenever they say for me to come up there, and ask me if I'm guilty or not guilty, I'm going to say not guilty. And then I'm going to say also, I'm going to hold my hand up and say, I want to tell you just exactly how this accident appeared, how it become like it was. I said, them policemen, I couldn't tell them nothing. They told me to shut up. See? And I shut up. I let them write it up just like they wanted to write it up. All right, whenever I stopped out there in that medium, that policeman come over there, and that door was open. My door on my side was open about that much. Now, how it got open, I don't know. I believe my elbow must have hit something, but because my elbow was skinned up. But instead of them, I told them that the door wouldn't open. You shut up and stay in there. Said, the truck ain't on fire. The motor was still running. And the radio, the tape player was still on. I had music there for him a long time. And after a while, I reached and turned the switch off and shut the motor off because the radiator or nothing like that wasn't hurt. It was the front end. It knocked the front end clean out from under it. Knocked it all back underneath it. And they claimed that the frame was bent on it. Well, so in the meantime, the law come, and there was one on a motorcycle and one on a in a car. And they went to asking me how it happened. And I said, well, I tell you, I can't talk right now because I'm hurt. I don't know where I'm hurt at, but I said, my neck hurt. And I said, my knees hurt. I said, I've had two operations since December. And I said, I don't feel like talking right now. So whenever they come out to the hospital to get the rigmarole of how it happened, well, I went telling him how it happened. He says, oh, you lying. You're lying. I said, I'm not lying. And I says, I'll prove it to you. So he says, where's your pocketbook? How much money you got in it? Now, let me tell you before that. Whenever they were carrying me to the hospital, that guy in the ambulance says, how much money you got on you? I said, I don't think that's any of your damn business how much money I got on me. He says, give me your pocketbook. But whenever they strapped me down on that board and put that thing around my neck, they thought my neck was broke. But I knew it wasn't. But you couldn't tell them no different because I was hurting back then. And still, I've got a headache from it yet. And but they put that thing around my neck and strapped me to that board. And when it did, I had on the same jacket, and the jacket was all buckled up in front because it was cold. And I had my hand in my pocket, over my pocketbook, just like that. And whenever they strapped me down to that board, they strapped my arm down there too. And I couldn't move, and I had my hand in my pocket. So I left my hand in my pocket on my pocketbook. So, the guy said to me, going in, says, how much money you got on you? I said, I don't think that's in your damn business how much money I got on me. And he says, well, give me your goddamn pocketbook. I said, you ain't gonna get nothing. I said, it's on me, and I said, it's gonna stay on me. I had a bunch of change in this pocket here, and it fell out. And I said, you can put that damn change back in my pocket somehow or another. And which I don't believe it did, because I had $7 or $8 in change. Halves and quarters, and I don't know what all. And but I noticed whenever I got to the hospital, I didn't have it. And whenever he tried to rob me, he tried to get my pocketbook anyhow. And I told him, I said, you ain't gonna get it. No way, shape, or form. I said, I ain't in that bad a shape. I said, I'll whip you right here if you mess with me just a little bit. I said, it won't take me but a minute to get out of this kind of strap you got me in. And now he tried to rob me, see? That's the way they do. That's natural. How much do you think it cost me from where that wreck was to that hospital, how much they charged me?
To pull your car?
No. For how much they charged me to carry me from where that wreck was to that hospital? 1 mile. 1 mile. And they didn't give me no shots. They didn't give me no oxygen. They didn't give me nothing. They set me out in the cold. And I stayed out there in that street for almost 45 minutes. The wreck happened at 7:30. And what time do you think they got me to the hospital? About 8:15. That's just about how long I stayed out there in the cold. They didn't put no blanket over me, no nothing. And I told myself, I'm cold. Better get something on me. And they still didn't put nothing on them. The cops and people around there was arguing about how did it happen. There wasn't no glass out there in the road. Where did that glass go to? Somebody picked that glass up. Where that woman, where I kissed that woman at, see? Well, that was all for that. Then about, I don't know, must have been about 9:30 or 10 o'clock, here come the policemen, see? And the police come in there and says to me, I was laying up there on the thing, and I still had my clothes and everything on me. And he wanted to know how the wreck happened. I told him, I says, in other words, I was coming down 11th Street, and there was a truck trailing me. And it was a blue truck, and it had high sideboards on it. the truck was top heavy. Because back down the road there, when he had to make that little, it comes this way and then it goes out this way and then that way, he liked to turn that truck over back there because it's top heavy. Now what he had in it, I don't know. But he might have had some stolen cows in it for all I know, just like that. And of course, I didn't know it was Horace Bowen. And today I'm going to see Horace Bowen, see?
Yeah.
All right. I tried to tell him how it happened. And they said to me, "So you're lying." I said, "I'm not lying." And I said, "I will have proof whenever I see that truck that was behind me." I said, I have rode over 400 miles in the past week looking for that truck. And by George, yesterday when we was working down here on 441, cutting out around ditches and culverts and this and that and the other, here come that truck. And I told them men that I worked, I said, "There's that truck right there that was behind me." And I said it was either a 68 or a 69 or a 70 Ford pickup truck. And I believe it's a 69. I believe that's what it is. I'm not sure until I connect up with it. Because the way the thing was made, and I'll tell you another thing. There's a man that works up there on DOT on that same road said, he told me, he said, "That truck is blue and says it's got high sideboard body. It's made out of pipe and it's got one board up there on top." And this one here's got one board up there on top. And he also said that the man that was driving that truck, he couldn't tell whether he was a colored man or a white man. He was a light-colored nigger. Of course, he didn't say nigger. He said he didn't know whether it was a white man or a colored man because it's always a little dark when he comes along there in the morning. And he says that he's wearing a peculiar-looking cap. And that cap is brown. It's not a dark brown. It's a light brown, and it's a cap that goes way up over his head and sticks way out in front. And he had on that hat yesterday. Hadn't changed the hat. He wears that hat all the time. And so I told him the best I could how it happened. And I said, "That truck that was trailing me is the truck that done the passing." I said, "I was still on the right-hand side of that yellow mark." Now, how he got through there as quick as he did, I don't know. I was running about 30 miles an hour.
Well, you know the story about him is he could kill a cow and skin her in 5 minutes.
Why, sure. I know he can. And he might have had cow meat on that truck then.
Yeah.
He might have come down there to Ray Fashion, butchered him 2-3, and had him on there, carrying him to cold storage in Alachaway, or somewhere like that, see? But he left the scene of the accident. In other words, he seen what went on. He knows that he was the one doing the passing. Well, whenever the court time comes, I'm going to tell that. That's the only way I know to tell it. And I'm not going to say I'm guilty. You see that? And back to business, when she was on the right-hand side, and when she got out at 6th Avenue, she wasn't figuring on going in on 6th Avenue. She was going to go right straight across. And there we were, and she couldn't go one way, and that's to the right. If she'd kept on coming, she'd hit me right in the side. See? All right? The reason why she couldn't see me and that other truck to start with, a bunch of Whitehurst's equipment was out there in the road.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a blind, and it was a great big old pile of dirt over there where she come out of that road.
And she didn't slow up.
She didn't slow up at all. Now, she must have been going. She had to be. Because the car, whenever I was going down that road, well, she was on my right over here, and the very minute she got to 6th Avenue, she just made a turn like that, see? She didn't go in there gradually. She just went down this way and then turned like that. Well, another thing, like I told him, I says, that car didn't even have a sticker on it. And the policeman says to me, he says, how do you know that? I says, I ain't blind. I says, in other words, when she come across this way, well, I was going this way, and I seen it didn't have no sticker, and it didn't.
How do they always take you for ignorant, J.R., when you've got more sense than they have?
And another thing, that policeman bunch got a hold of that door, and I told him, I says, now that door won't open, no fellin' what it is. I said, don't be a pulling on it. You just shut up. And he caught the door, and he ain't come. And he just bent the hell out of the door and broke the hinge off it and bent the fender all up. And now the city of Gainesville got to pay $250 damage to my damn truck on that door and that fender. And boy, they hot again. Boy, I'm going to tell you, that this here wreck business, if you ever get in a wreck in Gainesville, they'll sure skin you if you just let them.
Let me tell you. There for a while, I couldn't go through Gainesville without getting their ticket.
Well, they sent for you, waiting on you.
And you got to say sir to them people.
Yeah.
You got to say mister.
Mr. So-and-so.
Please. Oh,
well, okay. Now you take here about, it was Tuesday, it was 2 weeks ago. I had a lawnmower on the back of that truck, chained to the body with a lock on it. And my truck, I parked it up there where we always park it at DOT. And there was a guy sitting right by me. He backed up in there. I backed up in there. There was another fellow backed up in there. And he says to me, he says, what you going to do with the lawnmower? I said, well, it belongs to so-and-so. And I says, I brought it today so he could pay me and take the thing home. When I come from work that evening, I had told this guy in there, I said, well, your lawnmower is on the back of my truck. And I says, it's locked to it. Don't try to run off with it. I said, because it's locked to the truck. And I says, we'll get it this afternoon. You can carry it home. You can pay me and you can carry it on home. When I got out there that evening, it was gone. Somebody had knocked that lock off of there and took that whole lawnmower. They put it over that fence and drug it across the field. And there was a car over there waiting for it. Now, who done it? Nobody knows who got it. All right? That guy that I told that the lawnmower belonged to, in other words, it was 8:15 before he ever got in there to work. See? And he was a nigger. All right? I say he got it. And he ain't gonna pay me for it.
Oh.
I got another lawnmower waiting on him at home. And what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna have to go out to where he claims that it belongs to his uncle. What I'm gonna do, I'm going out to that uncle's house. I wanna know who that is. And I wanna know his name, his address, his phone number, his mailing address, everything. Get everything. Then I'm gonna ask him, I say, didn't you get your lawnmower? Because somebody had to carry that lawnmower away from there. That nigger knew that lawnmower was in that truck. All right, I got the sheriff's office, not the sheriff's office, but the city police to come out there. And they rode up a big rigmarole. And they got my insurance paper. And they told me that the insurance would pay me for that lawnmower. I said, the insurance that I got on that truck ain't got a thing to do with that lawnmower. I said, the only thing that insurance has got is on that truck itself. It ain't got a thing to do with what's on it. No, you're wrong. I said, well, we'll find out. And then also, whenever I get through with that court business on this here wreck business, I'm going to bring that up. And I says, they didn't give me no copy whatsoever. And I says, I also told them, I said, you can get the fingerprints off of that body right there. You could see the handprint. His fingers was about that much longer than mine. They were right there. You could see them because there was some dust in the back of the truck. Looked like, I think it was lime that I had in the back of the truck. And it was all over the side of the body. You know, you take riding from Mecanofield, Tennessee, dust to turn around and around in the back of the truck. And you could see his handprints right on the side of that body. Did they take any handprints? They ain't took nothing. I said, I want some fingerprints took right here. And you could see all around the body where this other people was on the other side. And there was a woman come up when we was out there. The guys was writing this. There's a nigga and a boy over there writing up the lawnmower business being took out of the truck and showed him where they drug it across his lot. And by George, the woman come up and said, made the remark, that there was a green and white Chevrolet pickup truck that was the one that picked up that mower. Well, this guy that was sitting right next to me did have a green and white Chevrolet. All right. He was kin to that nigga. And what they've been doing out that yard is some of them will come up and they'll go in and get kept in. Then they'll go right back out there and get in the car and go home. That goes on every day that rolls. But they think they slick, but I know where that mower is. And Monday, I'm going by there and make out like I want to buy a car. That's just exactly what I'm going for. I ain't got no way to ride, see, but I ain't hunting no way to ride. In other words, my truck will be fixed next Friday. I'll get it next Friday. They're putting a new front end under it, new grill, new hood, new all that stuff up there in the front that's all messed up.
Good job.
New bumper, Shaw and Keeter. But you know, here, let me show you how Shaw and Keeter worked. They thought they had it that way. In other words, the man said that, now I didn't owe but $925 on it. And I had a payment due that day that I wrecked it. So my wife went on and paid the payment. So that didn't leave but about $850, somewhere along there. All right. They were on the line. What they were going to do is take the insurance and pay a payment on my new truck that I was going to get a 75. All right. We done got all this thing straight. And then they said on the man that was dealing with says, now you owe $1,125 on it right at the minute. And said it's good till the end of this week. But after I'd pay another payment, it wouldn't be but so-and-so. All right, well, we'll take this $1,125. That's what he got from there, from First National Bank, how much I owed on the truck, which I knew damn well I didn't know that much. But he's going to take that $1,125, and he was going to pay that off, pay the bank off, and take that $986 that they claimed that part of it, in other words, the city of Gamble had to pay $250, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, it's about $1,325. Of course, they figured the wrecker fee and the ambulance fee and the this and that and the other added in there with it, see, come to so-and-so. And so I still have to pay for another brand new truck of $3,800. And all they was lying me on that truck was $100. So that night, what I done, whenever I found out all this, and I found out how much they were lying me, that's what I want to find out. Is how much they're going to lie me on my truck on this new one. It's still been back to $2,700. Then he made the remark, says, don't go back and talk to the body man because he wants to fix that truck. And he wants to put a new frame under it, and a new this, new that, new the other, and the truck wouldn't be worth $2,700, but we allow you $1,200, I believe it was. All right. I went back there and talked to the body man, and he told me, he says, that frame ain't bent. Says, the only thing that's wrong is that hanger that the front end is mounted to, it broke both of them off, broke the hangers off.
No.
All right? And it made it look that frame was bent. And he says it's not bent. He says the only thing it done was clip those rivets and broke them hangers off of that frame, which that can be put back on that easy. And he says that the axle, both axles, it's got two axles under it. It's got one that comes from one wheel up, and it's got another one comes from this wheel up. It's got two axles on it, see? That's what they call that A-frame axle deadlift. That's when you run over a bump, you don't feel it. Bull. You can run over a bump, you can feel it right on. All right? The man told me, he says, I can get the parts for it Monday, and says, Friday you can drive it home. And says it'll drive just as good as the day it was bought. And says it'll drive better. But I ain't said nothing about whenever I make a left-hand turn. When I first bought it, you could make a left-hand turn and you could feel something go like that. All right? They told me that whenever I went and got it, take it out and drive it and see if it drives all right. If it don't drive all right, get right back in there and make them fix it, whatever it takes to fix it. That I bet it'll be right back in there. All right. At say the truck never would run over 60 miles an hour, and I told him so. I said, this truck, when you take it out and try it out, I said, don't run that truck over 60 miles an hour because it won't run over 60 miles an hour. I got it set that way. It's been that way ever since I had it. It's got a governor on it. Now, how come that governor on it? I don't know unless the factory put it on it. And, that truck's going to be right when I go get it.
Let me get this one. You take this here, J.R. I went in there and had that seal in me. Now, this was that Chevrolet seal. Don't you know they had that whole page in the paper?
Yeah, I seen that.
By order of the bank. They had to have that sale. Sell everything they had. $2 million worth of
stuff. Yeah, I seen that.
Well, I went down there, but see, I couldn't find out much. I didn't know enough to find out much.
Mm-hmm.
But I wrote down 74 Nova with 5,000 miles on it. They won $3,600 for it. It was,
you don't want no Nova.
It was a two-door. Now, wait a minute. There was a 72 Maverick 57,000. Now, where's the truck? Wait a minute. 73, half ton, three speed. 73, half ton, three speed, JR, and they wanted $2,550.
That might have been my time. Well, that wasn't it showing here. That was at the Chevrolet place, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, that was this week.
Mm-hmm.
Early in the week I went down there. And when we were out here, when the fella came out here, you see, you know, with that new truck like yours,
how much did
he want for that?
Oh, he was way up there. He was about 3,100.
Yes.
3,100. How in the hell did it jump up that quick? It was supposed to be 2,700.
Well, I know. You could doubt with him. But now, look, here's this 73. Now, that was a new truck.
Yeah.
Or it might have been the last year's model, was it?
73?
No, when he brought it out here.
Yeah, it was the same model that mine was, 73.
Well, yeah, 73. I didn't put on anything else on it. They wanted $2,550 for it.
See, now you take mine.
That's right. He wanted $3,100 for that.
Yeah. All right. Now you take mine. I only paid $2,700 for it.
Mm-hmm.
But they allowed me $800 for that 66 Chevrolet.
Oh, is that it?
And I can go buy that 66 Chevrolet right now for $250. I know where it is.
Yeah.
And it ain't a thing in the world wrong with it.
Yeah.
If it's still sitting there.
Yeah.
And it's jacked up.
Yeah.
The contractor that got it, in other words, he put a new motor in it. The transmission or the rear end, it don't know what a load is. It's just like this now. It don't even know what a load is. The only load that I have had on that 73 Ford was a load of sawdust. That's the only load it's ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And this Chevrolet is sitting out there on the Montioka Road, up on concrete blocks, and the tires that's on it is the original tires. They ain't the original tires that I bought on it, because I bought a brand new set of tires before I traded in. Only trouble I had with it was that you couldn't see it smoking, but you could be riding down the road and look behind you, and you could see smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And if you drove it over 45 miles an hour for 8 or 10 or 15 miles, you didn't have no oil in it when you got to where you was going.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only trouble I had with it. But I could have tore it down and ringed it myself, but I didn't feel like fooling with it. And I did take the head of it off one time to try to find out what was wrong with something, and it wasn't a head gasket. It was a water pump, and put a new water pump on it. That remedied it.
Mm-hmm.
And, but that truck is still sitting there, jacked up the last time I was by there. And the man that owns it told me I could buy it back for $250.
Mm-hmm.
And that truck is still in A-1 shape. It got a brand new body on the back because I put it on there. Me and my son-in-law. And I've been kind of thinking about going out there and getting it.
Go out there and get it, yeah.
Go out there and get it. If I don't do nothing, bring the thing home, put it in the yard and jack it up.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's still in my name. It ain't never been took out of my name.
You know, that happens more than a fellow knows.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it does. I don't know how I couldn't get by with that.
No, sir, I couldn't get by with it. But see, on that wreck, they got me charged with passing in a intersection. That ain't no more intersection where that went on than nothing. The intersection is 150 feet back. Now see, what them policemen was doing was listening to somebody else out there.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't let me get out of the truck.
I've had that same experience. Yes, sir.
Now you take Jerome Feaster. You know him.
Yeah.
All right, he wrecked his the other night. In other words, there's a guy coming down the road about 80 miles an hour, and the light had an arrow up there for you to turn left. Well, there were two cars that already went ahead and made it. And when he got out there, well, boom, here come that car. And kissed him on the right-hand side. That's where it called the Feaster. And I think it's the rear view mirror. Caught him right up there and gassed him up there and messed up his arm. And you know they charged him with failure to lead the right-of-way. What is it? Failure to yield the right-of-way. When he had the light had the arrow up there. And there were two cars that done went around. He was the third one going around. That car come up there 80 miles an hour on 13th Street and kissed him right in the side.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, you need to straighten out that bunch up there a little bit. And let me tell you something else, what I believe.
They're far gone.
I believe that them policemen that they have got up there, them hippies, up there is the ones that's doing that robbing. Robbing them places. And then all of a sudden they can run to their car and change their clothes right quick. I believe they're the ones doing the robbing because they know what's going on. They know who's in there and who ain't in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like that robber down at that thrift place. Whenever that nigger woman was hired that morning, and whenever she knew that
where
she
are you
had
going,
a...
Babe?
I'm just
going
to take this in here.
Well, why don't you take it in here? Just open the door and come on. We just sitting here talking.
Well, I'm not going to fill it. I'm just going to put it in with the stuff.
Oh, I see.
You take that thrift robbery. All right? That nigga gal was just hired that morning. All right? She knew how much she had in her cash register. And then when she knew she had a big amount of money in that cash register, then one of them guys come in, and she throwed her hand up. You say 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000, like that. She throwed her hand up somehow or another. All right, then there wasn't too many people in the store or right at that one place. They come right over there and robbed her and went out the front door. Nobody don't even know who in the world it was. And she ain't gonna say who it was because she knows she's gonna get half of it. See that? And then they fired her that night. You know, I should have been a detective instead of what I am.
Mm-hmm.
I got something in my pocket that we found over there on 441 the day before yesterday. And I can tell you and I'll bet you'll say I know good and well that there's something wrong somewhere. It's got to be something wrong. Because I'm going to show you something. You may not believe it. But I'm working on this right here. All right, here's a courtesy card for that. All right, here's a piece of paper right here with another name on it. Does them names correspond with one another? Or does this here correspond with anything?
Yeah, he just used, he uses George here and W here.
Yeah. This guy right here and two more has got the same name. And their driver's license has got the same name and the same numbers, but the picture ain't the same thing. How can three of them have the same name? Do you think that the where he bought them licenses, do you think that they are nuts, just a little bit nuts out there or something? They gotta be. Because he's not but 20 years old. I think that's what he is there, 20 years old. All right, now he goes by the name of Wes Cox, and one goes by the name of George, and one goes by the name of George W. And but all of them's got the same name. There's no junior, no senior, no nothing on the other cards. Courtesy the driver's license, see?
Mm-hmm.
All right, this one right here is Wes Cox. And I got some bills where he had full gasoline on this courtesy card.
Oh.
All right, that's your niece. Denise C. or G. Hardgrove. There's no such a name as that. In other words, her name is Janice. Not Janice, but Jean. All right, this courtesy card right here, you see that number down there? I call that number. And what do you think I got? I got 999 Southwest 16th Avenue. That's that... That apartment's down there where all the men and women live together, unmarried. And I asked that girl, I says, is your niece C or G Hardgrove? Is that G or C? That's C, ain't it?
It looks like it.
I says, is your niece Hardgrove there?
C over
she
here.
Says, no. Says, your niece Hardgrove don't live here. It's Jean. J-E-N-E, Jean Hardgrove. I says, is her name Jean C. Hardgrove? No, says she's in Atlanta. She's been in Atlanta over a year. All right, this guy has been buying gasoline and tires and everything imaginable on that courtesy card. All right, he can buy, you can look on this side, he can buy any kind of gasoline, mm-hmm. Loco, There's AX, there's 76. Sure. Ain't no telling. Now, you see her name's on the back of it.
Yeah.
All right. He can buy anything he wants to.
Yeah, that name right here.
Yeah. Well, she had to, I don't know where she signed that or who signed it. But now, say for instance that he's buying all this stuff on this girl, and she's a miss. In other words, I found another card in there that her name is a miss. All right? How come this pocketbook, where it was at? It was out in the woods. It wasn't on the road, it was out in the woods. And I found a bunch of papers and everything, and I found a bunch of courtesy card write-ups. 15 and 20 gallons of gas. And do you think that girl right there is going to pay that bill? No, she ain't going to pay it. In other words...
it's not her name.
It's not her name. Now, where did he get that name from? And how did he get a courtesy card on that name? See that? Now, I'm going up, not today, but I'll be Monday. I'm going to the Snoco place. And I ain't going to let them see this card. I just want to, I'm going to take this number, and I'm going to say, do you have a number by that name, or that number? A number by that, or a name, of who that credit card belongs to? In other words, it's 75th year, good until 75. And more than likely, he'll send that in and get another one. And she'll be the one paying the bill. But who is it paying the bill? They may not be paying the bill. More than likely they ain't. And I asked that guy when I called him. Now they said his address was 819 Northwest 16th Avenue. Well, I called that place and got the phone number off of him. That one right there, 376-6394. And he answered the phone. I said, who is this talking? He says, Wes Cox. I said, your name George W. Cox? He says, yeah. I said, how many of you is in there? He says, three. I said, how does all y'all get the same name? I didn't tell him who I was. But I says, I got the driver's license. And I also got the courtesy card. And I also got something else that's most important to you and all. And I said, I want to know how y'all three got the same name. And I called back again later. And the operator called me and over the phone and says, that phone has been disconnected.
Just like that?
Yeah. In other words, then another thing, he worked at a Shell filling station in front of People's Bank. And I said something to the county sheriff's office yesterday. I said, how about going out to the People's Bank? Right in front of it is a Shell filling station. And I said, ask for George W. Cox and see if he's there. And the man told me yesterday afternoon, said, no, he ain't there. He quit the day before yesterday. Now he's gone, see? All right, where'd he go to? Nobody knows. I expect that bunch moved out of that house.
Mm-hmm.
There were three of them using that same name.
Mm-hmm.
And they had this courtesy card. But how come that pocketbook, where it was at? Out in the woods.
Yeah.
Now he'll have to have that driver's license. In other words, he's driving a car somewhere with no driver's license. And you're supposed to have these driver's license on you at all times. That goes to show you right there that somebody ain't doing a job. And they're checking up on him. And also the county is checking up on that truck that was following me up at that wreck. And whenever I go out there to see Horace Bowling, I'm going to ask him, I say, Horace, where was your truck at 7:30 Wednesday morning? And he said, oh, in my yard. I said, now you want to be sure. Don't give me the runaround, because I'm here on business. I said, now, Art, you left the scene of an accident. And I said, now, you know good and well that you wouldn't have left the scene of an accident with me driving one of them. That was me ahead of you. And I said, I don't know what you had in that truck, but you had something. You come in an ace of turning that truck over back down the road. I says, if you'd have turned that truck over, do you think I'd have run off and left you? I'd have went right back down there where you had that wreck at and stayed with you. But I says, you didn't do me that way. You drove off. And what he done when he, I was there going this way and she was over here, and he passed us on that side. He's the one doing the passing. But they got me for passing in an intersection. Don't you think for 1 minute that I ain't going to work on them up at that court about that wreck. And I told them policemen that same day that they wrote me up passing in an intersection, I said, I ain't no lawyer and I ain't no detective, but I need to be one. Just on account of y'all. I said, I'm done got too old to learn to be a lawyer and a mind reader. I says, I'm a damn good mind reader. And I says, I know what you got on your mind right now. You ain't got to tell me nothing. I said, the only thing you want to do is get my pocketbook. And he also, up there in the hospital room, said to me, says, give me your goddamn pocketbook. I says, wait a minute. Don't get upset here with me in this hospital. Calm down, buddy, calm down. I had two $1,000 bills in my pocketbook. And my wife said to me, said, where'd you get that from? I said, I've had that money for a long time. I said, take it and put it in the bank. In other words, I give my pocketbook to my boss. And he took my pocketbook around at the school and gave it to Noah. And I told him to tell her to be sure and look in that pocketbook and get that money out of it and get it to the bank. Now, if he would have got that pocketbook, if I'd have let him have it to get my driver's license out of there, and he'd have seen them $2,000 bills, he'd damn sure took them out there and put them in his pocket. And don't you think for 1 minute that I ain't going to tell that bunch that right up there whenever that court comes. I'm going to tell him from the start of it all the way through. And I say, he may deny that he told me to give me my goddamn pocketbook. Give me your goddamn pocketbook. I said, the only witness I got is a man that was with him. And I said, the main thing he was after was my pocketbook. That's the main thing he was wanting when he come up there. I said, if he'd have got it, he'd have seen them two $1,000 bills, he'd have got it. He'd have got it too, wouldn't he? Sure he would have.
It had been just as easy as $2,000 bills.
He could have turned around. He could have turned around on me. I couldn't get off that damn table because they had me strapped down to that table. The only way I could do was my hands like this. And of course, I kept fooling around until I got my pocketbook out and looked in it and got my driver's license. He said, let me had a pocketbook. You ain't able to get it out. I said, the hell I ain't. I said, you watch and see if I ain't. Well, you ain't got to get smart. I said, I ain't smart. I ain't half as smart as you think you are. You think you slick. And whenever, I doubt if he seen them when I opened that pocketbook up and got my driver's license.
Yeah, yeah. You'd be sure he didn't.
I'd be sure he didn't see it. And I'll tell that judge, I said, if I'd have just let him got a hold of my pocketbook and got them driver's license out there, I'd have just been $2,000 shy. And I know that guy that in that hamlet, and I'm going to mention that too. And I'm going to file suit against that hamlet bunch too, because they rob everybody that they care to the hospital. They rob everybody. And that old nurse said to me, says, how much money you got in your pocketbook? I says, I don't think that's any of your business. I said, the only thing I want you to do is hand me my pocketbook out of my britches. They took my britches off.
Now, that was at the hospital?
Yeah. That was at the hospital. Even the old nurse was trying to get my money.
At the hospital?
Yeah. At the hospital. Wanna know how much money I had, and I said I might have $4. And I had $9 in change beside the two $1,000 bills. Boy, I'm going to tell you, this world is in a hell of a fix. It ain't the world, it's what's in it. Now, you take, now, this don't sound right. Of course, he's a nigger. All right, they got him for not having a sticker on his car. They charged him $25. They don't give a damn whether he gets a sticker on there or not. They didn't tell him to go get a sticker. The very next day they got him again for not having no sticker on his car. The same identical same one. $25 again. And then 2 days after that, they got him again and said he didn't appear in court. He wouldn't even appear in court 2 days. And they charged him $75 the next time for not appearing in court when he was supposed to. I say that's wrong. Now, J.M. Red Cross was the judge. How could Red Cross, you know he's crooked. I declare, I don't know. They do some of the deepest things you ever seen in your natural life. But I'm going to fight this him. I'm going to fight this case, and I'm going to see Horace Bowler.
And, you know, the judge can't go against them fellas very much and stay judge.
But best I can understand.
And they can't carry on like that without a little understanding with the judge.
Mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell you, I know plenty of people. They can't even go through Gainesville unless some damn city cops don't get them. Just like it. Everything they do is wrong.
Yeah.
They'll get him for one thing or another.
The only protection you have going through the city of Gainesville is that it's getting so big and they haven't got near enough of them cops to go around.
They ain't got no good ones. They got none damned old boys.
Yeah.
Some old boys that ain't no telling where to come from.
Yeah. So you can go through Gainesville half a dozen times and never see one of them.
That's right.
That's how thin they are.
Mm.
And I think every now and then, that's the reason you can get through Gainesville.
Now, here's what they got now. They got a nigger policeman in one of them cars, and they got a woman riding with them. What business has she got riding with them? They got a woman in every one of them. And they're riding up and down the road, spending the money. That's the reason why Gainesville is so big as it is. And you notice that the light plant is practically out of Gainesville already. And like that city disposal business, trash truck, that they are building a new place out of the city limits of Gainesville. They don't want to be in Gainesville. The taxes are costing them too much. I don't know what's going to happen, but there are a lot of places businesses is getting out of the city limits. You take Shaw and Keita. They are way out there on 39th Avenue, putting in 39th Avenue. There's Chrysler and Primus way out there. There's Harbor Chevrolet's on 16th Avenue. They fixing to move.
What?
Out of the city limits.
Oh, are they?
Yes, sir. There's a big place out there by the other side of the airport.
Is
a
it?
Tremendous building out there.
Is
I
that,
understand that's Harbor Chevrolet.
Is that one reason they're selling out?
That's the reason they're selling out. In other words, there's a lot of people in Jacksonville that is going out of business. And the man say on the radio, just make me an offer. That's what Harbor Chevrolet is supposed to do, too.
Mm-hmm.
You go up there and you see a car you want. You just make him an offer, and he's supposed to take it, whether he wants to or not. Now,
As long as that little 70, what was it, 73 Nova is sitting there, and they want $3,600 for it, if you make them an offer for $2,500, they're supposed to take it.
They're supposed to take it. And I'll tell you another thing. You see automobiles, you see cars and everything going down the road with 11 MI on it. 11 MI, 6424. What you can do, you can stop that car and tell them, say, I'll give you $50 for this truck or this car. You got to either take it or take that tag off it. That is a dealer's tag.
Oh.
And he ain't got no business of going back and to the work with a dealer's tag on his car. And there's a lot of these tags that you see a piece of pasteboard up in the back of the windshield, in the back glass, and it's got an X on it. What is that X for? That's a city or a county car. It ain't supposed to have no X on it. It's supposed to have the original number. See, when you buy a tag now, say for instance your old Chevrolet out there, you got a tag on it, ain't you? All right? If you used to sell that car to somebody, did you know you're supposed to take that tag off and keep it and put it on another automobile?
No.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. My truck.
I sure didn't.
Yes, sir. My truck. I was supposed to take that tag off of that truck. The tag number was 11GK1290. 1290, I think, what my tag number was. And they were supposed to take that tag off that truck and put it on this new 75. That's my tag. That don't belong to them. And also, he wrote in their tag $38.50. I said, wait a minute. That's my tag that's on that truck. And whenever I sell that truck to anybody, I take that tag off. It's mine. Because it's got a little, if you'll notice on that 75 tag, the 75's over here. And on the right, it ain't nothing about that like that. And next year, whenever the tag time comes, you buy a little old clip about that long and clip it on that tag.
With your name on it?
Nope. It'll have your number. That number right there on that tag will keep you for 3 years.
Oh, really?
That's right. That's the way it goes. In other words, I got a boat. I got a boat trailer at home now. And you wouldn't believe it. But the tag for that boat trailer, what do you think the number is? All right, the tag on the truck is 11GK1290. The tag on that trailer is 11V1290.
Oh.
You wouldn't believe it.
Oh,
that's the way it goes.
Change your vehicle.
Yeah. In other words, the trailer tag is a V, and the truck is GK. And if I sell that boat and trailer to somebody, I take my tag off it.
No, that's new. I didn't realize that.
That is right. A lot of people don't know that.
Now, is that just coming in?
That just come in, and since 75 tags come out.
Yeah.
That is your tag for 3 years or longer. And you see a lot of cars that's got that old piece of pasteboard up in the back. In other words, what I'd have had to do was wait until that truck of mine was cleared before I could take that tag off of that truck and put it on that 75 truck. But me and Noah, we got them figures and everything that he wrote down. And me and Noah got them down, and we figured it out, and they wasn't lying to me, but $100 on my truck.
Well, now, who's best at figures, you and Noah, or you just work together on it?
Noah does the figuring. I don't do it.
She's pretty good.
In other words,
but
she had told him. She had told him that his figures wasn't right.
Yeah.
She told him twice.
Yeah. She got us the figuring, but you give her the information.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I tell you, on that thing that I had here that about the raise.
Yeah.
I got a 4% raise. What do you think I got day before yesterday?
Seven.
About 7.5%. Ray.
Yeah.
All that junk he put up there about me not finishing the job? Well, man, he got ashamed of that.
You turned that back in and I never got a copy of it.
This man always finishes the job before he leaves it. That's what he's got up there this time.
I wanted to get a copy of that and then clip off all the names and identification because, J.R., that is one of the finest cases I ever saw of this rating everybody has to live by now. And half the time, you see, they're stupid.
Yeah,
they're just stupid
as hell.
And there's nothing you can do about it, generally.
And they wanted this back, see?
Yeah.
Now that tag number, let's see, no, that's, I want to, that $167, that's a guy that I want to see. Whenever he gets paid, there's another thing. Since I've been back to work, I went back to work on September the 13th. Mm-hmm. And I have been back there ever since September the 13th, and this nigga has lost 16 days. Since then, and every 2 weeks he draws $167, and they haven't missed him not one bit. He has drawn that $167 every 2 weeks, and whenever he gets his check this time, I'm gonna see it. And if it's still $167, I'm gonna say, let me have that check. That's wrong. I'm going right straight to that damn office. And I'm going to show it to the man. I say, look at him. I've been here since September the 13th. This man has drawed $167 every 2 weeks. He ain't got no sick leave. He ain't got no vacation. He ain't got nothing. I want to know why. Where's that all that time that he's been gone? Where's all that time went to? Here he is drawing $167. I want to know something. And I want to know it now. I don't want to know it next week or next month. And I told one fella, I said, you know what I'm doing out here? You know why I'm working out here? He says, no. I says, I'm trying to find out something. And I said, I just about found it out. And I'm ready to go somewhere else. God damn, you know, he give me a hard look. He says, sure enough? I said, you ain't telling me nothing. All right, now he says, employee needs to stick to a signed job until it is finished.
Yeah, I know that.
Get you a copy of it if you want.
Now, what I do, I just get him Xerox it, and then I just cut that off, and I'd cut your name off and all like that, and cut off this down here. This in here, that is about as good as anything I ever saw.
Mm-hmm.
As to how you get all crossed up, you see, on these damn things.
Like some of them said to me, says, this down here takes care of all this up here.
Yeah.
It's just like that knowledge business.
Yeah.
That knowledge. And him with a third grade education that wrote that. That's a dilly if I've seen anything. And I get all riled up about it. And every time he would move me, I'd throw that up at him.
Let me get my checkbook.
Yes,
I haven't got the money.
You know, don't worry about that $9. Don't worry about it. Forget about it.
Well, let me tell you, I've been trying to get over
that. You done got it in? You put it in?
I've been trying to get over to your house.
I wanted to.
Oh, I'm still down my back from that wreck, but I'm
going
to tell you.
I wanted to get this.
I'm going to be at work.
Let me tell you. You just don't realize what I've been putting up with on that old stove over here.
Mm-hmm.
By this thing, my life's different with this stove, J.R.
Well, I've had that stove in my house.
That's first decent stove I ever had.
That stove right there cost, without the blower, cost $179. And them self-lighters, I got three or four of them.
I don't know how in the world that thing knows when to turn on, but it always does it.
You mean the automatic blower?
Yeah, the automatic turn-on down there.
Yeah.
When it lights.
Well, it's got a thing in there that looks like a... Let's see what it don't look like. In other words, it starts off like that. And it comes back up here and goes this way. And then it comes up here and it's got a little thing about that big round. It's got a cooler shell. And it sits over there, that pipe. And that kerosene comes in, when it comes in through here,
yeah,
and gets underneath that hull,
yeah,
well, it forms a vapor.
Oh.
And you hear it when it comes on, it goes just like that.
Yeah.
And that's what lights it.
Yeah.
And then whenever that fires and then it gets up like it's supposed to be, then the automatic thing goes off. It's got a thermostat, two thermostats back there. And if it ever messes up on the electrical part, well, I got that. I got all that.
It just behaves perfect.
So what I'll do, I'll bring them parts to you, and then if you ever need them, well, I can put them in there. And ain't everybody can't put them in there.
And you see what it is, it's got so much heat that if you leave it on high, just an extra 5 minutes, it just run you out.
Yeah, it'll run you out.
But if you put it down on low, like you said, and that'll warm up the house.
Should will.
And after it warms up the house, put it down, like you said, below low.
That's right.
And that's where it is now.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, it'll just sit there, and I got the fan disconnected because...
It cranks up too often, I guess.
Oh, well, it don't matter about that.
No, I don't think I'm doing about that. It's just like, I bought a 75,000 duotherms and one more just like that. And I give it to the church.
Yes, what happened about that?
They still sitting out there in the yard. And I mentioned it here not long ago to that preacher that's over there now. I says, that them gas heaters, one of these days, is going to blow everybody clean out of that church, right on out the front door, right just how they come in there. I said, just give them time. I said, that 75,000 that I put in that church, I would go over there, thank you, I would go over there on a Saturday night, and I would light that heater up, and I said, y'all, they never did have to clean it. I cleaned it myself. And I said, the kerosene never cost y'all a dime. I said, that 287-gallon tank that was behind them bushes, y'all sold it. He said, I didn't sell it. I said, yeah, but somebody did. I said, Louise Graham might have carried it home with her, for all I know. But somebody carried it home. I said, that 287-gallon tank that was in there between the house and them bushes.
Yeah.
I says, I paid $160 for that tank and put it up there and filled it up with kerosene. I says, it stayed full all the time. And I says, y'all didn't have to buy no kerosene. You didn't have to buy nothing. Now, gas, you got a big old tank back there that Joe Harry and them made arrangements to put some heaters, gas heaters in that back annex back there. And I says, I even had a 53,000 self-lighter heater back there, and they took it and set it out in the yard. I think somebody done walked off with it. And I said, that didn't cost you nothing. I said, I was in the heater business, and I said, I made money cleaning heaters and repairing heaters, and I could do it. And I said, if I was able to do it again, I'd do it again. I bet you I've had 1,000 or more telephone calls in the past 90 days that people here and there and everywhere want the heaters cleaned.
Yeah.
And I told them, I said, I don't know who cleans heaters. I don't do it myself because when I get down, I can't get up. And I said, that's the reason I've had to quit. I said, I give 3 brand new vacuum cleaners away. And I said, all my brushes and all my equipment and everything that I use to clean heaters with, I give them to a fellow, now he's dead. Lester Bass, he died here about 2 weeks ago.
Who?
Lester Bass, up in Gainesville.
Yeah.
And I says, I can't do it no more myself. I says, I'm just ain't what I used to be. I'm not as young as I used to be. And I says, I said, I don't know who to tell you. I had one to call me from Inverness the other night wanting a hot water heater put in. I said, lady, I'm sorry, but I can't do it. I haven't got the equipment. I haven't got anything. I had to quit. But I said, is any way in the world that I could start back again, I would. And I've been kind of thinking about doing it and get me two young boys that would do the job right.
Yeah, you better get the boys first.
Huh?
You have to get the boys first.
I'll have to get who I want. In other words, I just ain't gonna mess with this end of everybody.
Yeah, they all got so much business of their own, they don't hardly have time for
it. You know, if you get some of that paper, it's not paper, it's plastic.
Yeah.
And tack it right up yonder.
Let me tell you, that'd be a whole lot better.
You might have right. It'll, now you take it. Now
because it'll let the light in.
Them windows right there, it'll let the light in.
Yeah.
But nobody can stand on the outside and look in.
Yeah.
You can look out, but you can't get on the outside and look in.
Yeah.
Now you take, I got to put it at all my jalousy windows.
Yeah.
Don't never let nobody tell you to put jalousy windows in.
Yeah.
They ain't worth 2 cents.
Yeah.
Well, you can close them up as tight as you can get them.
Yeah,
you can take a newspaper and shove it right down inside them glass.
Yeah.
They just don't come together like the schools do.
Yeah. Now, that little tractor, I get a mechanic out here, and all, like I tell you, he'll take the lid off and all like that. But about all he does is start it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hell, I can start it.
Well, sure.
I can hitch to it, you see, and pull it off,
mm-hmm.
and it'll start easy. But I can't crank it.
I know what's wrong with it. Know just exactly what's wrong with it.
Well,
another thing,
I'm
put
sorry,
new water hose on it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do when I take that thing off. And I got the grill, and also I found a crank that'll fit it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I got a crank that'll fit
it.
It's a 34 V8 crank, and that grill thing has got a thing down in the bottom where you stick it through the hole and go underneath the radiator and go to the cranking thing.
Oh, I'll be done. I'll be done. And that little old thing always easy to turn over.
But the only way, the best way, is, in other words, you can't get that distributor out of there until you take that top off.
Yeah. Now, that's the one thing they made.
And I got a gallon of antifreeze for it.
Oh,
you ain't putting none in it, have you?
No.
I got a gallon of antifreeze.
Yeah, it ought to have a little in it.
Well, I got some.
Yeah. I had this little Dodge we bought, and I started to check the antifreeze, and you know what I found? It had been there, and it was rusty, and it was so rusty, it was kind of like slush.
Back in the back end of the motor.
Even back there.
Put a piece of wire and jig it in there and clean it out?
Yes, but the radiator was stopped up.
Mm-hmm.
I did all the jigging I could do on it, and it would still heat.
Heat up?
Yeah.
Well, I could tell you what to do on that.
Well?
Got you a can of potash. You put about half of it in there.
Yeah.
Put your radiator cap back on it.
Yeah.
Crank it up. Run it for about 5 or 10 minutes till it got hot.
Yeah.
Shut it off. And wait for about 30 minutes, an hour. And just took that back plug out of the block.
Yeah.
But it cleaned it out.
I couldn't even get that plug out of the block.
Well, it's brass.
I was afraid to do it.
Might wring it off in there.
Yeah.
Well, it takes a socket wrench to do that.
Yeah.
So then what you want to do is pull up on it just a little bit and then push down.
Yeah.
That would break that corrosion loose in it.
Yeah. Well, I see. Well, it cost me $25.
Where'd you have it done at?
I took it up to Gaswell and they took it to somebody.
You should have carried it to Butler's radio shop. If you had it there, I could have got you a 30% discount.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have cost you more than about $10.
Well, that's it.
Because I know the old boy, see?
Yeah. You see?
Old boy by the name of Head.
Oh.
I could have told him it was my car. He wouldn't charge me nothing.
Yeah.
But see, you don't never know that.
No. Well, that's it, you see. If I just left it out here and took it off myself and dropped it by there.
Yeah.
you had all of it.
I got something he might need sometime, and I ain't got no use for it. I know you would, because you don't never know when you need something right there. Because you don't need that paper. That's something.
Say, that's something you never have enough of them things.
That's right. Now, in other words, that's a standard bolt. Now, that in there is bratted a little bit right there, but
yeah.
You can take a file and work on it
and
get that loose.
Yeah.
I picked them up on the road.
You don't need a caulking gun.
No, I got two free of them.
Well, I have two now. I lost one and bought another one, then found the one I had.
I lost my pocket knife the other day, and I thought and thought and thought and thought, what in the world did I do with it?
Yeah.
And, did I show you my cabbage planter?
Now, all you told me about it.
So have you got a garden?
I got one out there.
How you garden do
it? It's coming on since it rained.
You,
I got some
you
green.
You got any cabbage plants out there?
I got some, but they're mighty spindly.
I know, but you want any?
Are they pretty good size?
Well, they're about that high.
They're bigger than mine.
In other words, what I do, I take my little old spade I got, dig around it, and get as much dirt as I can, and tear it right over and plant it.
Yeah.
It won't ever even know it's been moved.
Won't know it's been moved.
And I
no,
got,
it won't
I got
know it's
boo-coos
been
of them.
No.
And I got, to tell you something else I got. I got some mustard. Broadleaf mustard.
Yeah.
The only thing I do is take the shovel and go down and dig it up and put it in a box and then carry it out there and plant it.
Yeah. Is that
and
right?
Don't let a bit more dirt get off the roots and you can help.
Yeah.
Then I got mustard and turnips.
Yeah.
Well, now turnips don't, I don't believe you can replant turnips. You might can. I guess you could. I'm going to try it anyhow.
I got
collards. But the thing about it is, the collards, I bought the plants, they're supposed to be in cabbage, and I think they're collards. That's what it looks like.
Say, let me tell you what happened. Faye's nephew was over there at the beach, and we drove over there to see him. She wanted to see him on business. He's a lawyer and a businessman, insurance man, a little of everything.
Mm-hmm.
He's like you, you see. In that office business, he knows a whole lot of it. Now, it ain't just one thing. And over there between Palatka and Hastings, there was a big vegetable place.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a nice vegetable place I've stopped at. That was before the killing frost, but they still got plenty. And they had everything out there. You got a big head of cabbage, and for 20 cents or a quarter, and we got cauliflower, and
I need to go over there if you got cauliflower.
And I can't tell you what all, but we got a little bit of everything over there. And they had onions.
Onions, a little bit of everything.
Yes. And
then I got about five rows of pretty onions and everything.
Yeah.
But there ain't no bottoms come on yet.
Yeah.
But now what I've been doing, I went in there this morning. I was out there at 5:30 this morning, holding my garden.
Oh.
And I, of course, I had that row there where the turnips were, and I pulled up the turnips and cut the bottoms off and put them in a bucket. And I got radishes about that big round, about that long. Of course, they're tough. And do you want a mess of mustard and turnips?
Yeah.
I got them.
Ain't anything better. It takes that mustard to make it.
Oh, man, I got
some
of the prettiest mustard you ever seen in your natural life. And I planted them in a place where I had cucumbers.
Oh.
And them cucumbers had that fertilizer there.
They had cucumbers over
and,
there.
Yeah, they got cucumbers. And my son-in-law went down to Tampa and brought back a bunch of cucumbers the other day. And them were the strangest looking cucumbers I've seen in my life. Naughty like.
Yeah.
Of course, I got some of them antique cucumbers.
Yeah.
And you know, I had four or five out there that was about that long.
You mean a yard long?
Somebody got them. Somebody went out there and pulled them off the vine and took them with them. And
you,
it froze up on a fence.
You live that right on that damn road, you see.
Yeah, but
who
done it? I know who done it.
Yeah.
But what can I do about it? I ain't got no fence up there, and I don't know fence. So there you are.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I better get going or we'd like to do this.
Okay, we'll go out there and
get the manager to crank it up.
And crank it up. I'll pull you off. That's the easiest way.
I'll find out what to do.
Okay.
Did you have two keys to it?
Yeah. I got one.